So 100 pennies, whoever can tell me who this is first, give you a few hints. This statue is on the Cathedral of Chartres, France, so south of Paris, from about the 1100s, 1200s. And this is an Old Testament figure. Sue really wants to get those 100 pennies. And we sang about him. Yes, who? Melchizedek. That's right, because you pay attention in school. And if you name one of your first, if you name your firstborn kid after Melchizedek, how much will I give you? $100, remember? So, $100 to the first kid named Melchizedek, or Melchizedekka. Anyways, but Melchizedek is this figure who showed up like out of nowhere. Literally, like it seems like he said he had no beginning and no end. He just showed up. And what he did is he took bread and his wine and he offered it before Abram. He gave it to Abram. Why? Because Abram was being called with his wife Sarah to leave where they were and to go someplace. First time in recorded history. And they left the place where they went and had this incredible destiny, this incredible journey to the promised land. And it was a long way. And so they needed some nourishment and encouragement. And so Melchizedek, knowing that the promised land is going to be revealed, comes before Abram and offers him bread and wine, food for the journey. And then he said a prayer, a blessing upon Abram and his family, down to the thousandth generation. He was a priest. And so we heard in our psalm response, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. See if you name your first kid Melchizedek. There's music written about him already. And Jesus is the ultimate high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And what I am, I'm a priest in the order of Melchizedek. I have a priesthood with no end. That's what it means. Don't worry about it. But what's amazing is 10,000 years after Melchizedek in the desert in Iraq offered bread and wine and a blessing, I am basically doing the same thing tonight, 10,000 years later, taking bread and wine, asking God to bless it so that we might have food for the journey and saying a blessing. Except the food for the journey that you and I will receive tonight isn't bread and wine, but rather it's the body and blood of Jesus. And we are offered this, his very self, this nourishment of the very body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus, so that we might progress to the promised land. The promised land, which is not in the Middle East, is not even this island called Ireland. Because for us, of course, the promised land is life eternal with God. That is the promise we receive every time we receive the Eucharist, the promise of eternity, so that we might be nourished, so that between now and then, we might be encouraged and nourished and strengthened to love like Jesus loved us, to give all that we have, to love beyond measure. That's why St. Paul, in today's second reading, he realized that he received this incredible tradition. Not tradition with a small t, but with a capital T, capital R, capital A. What's that spell? Tradition. And that tradition is that bread and wine are taken. The words, this is my body, this is my blood, are said. And we do this in remembrance of me, of Jesus. And when we do that in the Jewish sense, which means to make present the reality we are celebrating. What does that mean practically? It means that Jesus' death and resurrection are not a reality 2,000 years ago, for a reality that you and I participate in even here and now. Every time we celebrate Mass, we participate in the promise of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's amazing. Like, we are privileged sons and daughters of the Father so that we might, with Jesus and his 12 and with all the early saints and with all the saints, we might participate in the very sacrifice that Jesus gave so that we might be able to go into the promised land. That we might love like Jesus. That we might bring the mercy of Jesus to others. That whoever encounters you or me, how privileged will that person be? For we who have received the Eucharist are called to love like God. And we do that the best we can, right? That's why I'm here, to be strengthened again. And so such a great gift demands a response. Like Sheila, remember when you got engaged? How many years ago? 35 years ago. And when you got engaged, your husband got down on a knee?
No.
One out of 1,000 doesn't.
It was his birthday.
It was his birthday. And he gave you something, I'm guessing. And he said something when he gave it to you. He said, "Will you marry me?" And he gave you a ring valued at about $16 billion. Close. Because what he wanted to say to you in that little gesture 35 years ago is that you demand a response. And so he gave you a ring. See, God, when we encounter God and the gift of God, it demands a response of us. Otherwise, we'd be like Sheila, and it's this newsworthy event would just keep going right on by. So what Abram did, Abram realizing that he was in the presence of God, Abram realizing that he had received this incredible blessing, was being called and now strengthened to go to the promised land, he made a response. He made this incredible response. He said to Melchizedek, "I will give you 1/10 of all that I have." And he gave 1/10 of all his sheep and rams and grain and wine to Melchizedek. We do a similar thing today. We're invited to make a response with our lives. It happens when the collection basket goes by. You thought it was just a collection basket so that you can support what's going on here. No, that collection is meant to be a response of your soul, of my soul, to God. To give 1/10, a tithe of what we have to God, saying, "God, this isn't everything I got to keep, I got to live, but I need to give to you an expression that I'm so grateful, grateful beyond measure. So here, take a small measure, just 1/10, as an expression of my gratitude that you blessed me, nourished me with the very body and blood of Jesus so that I might continue my journey to the promised land." That's what we do every Sunday. So let us ask God for that deep gratitude of our hearts. That deep awareness of what we are celebrating here. So we're not just like doing what we do every week as if it's just some routine thing. Let's come to Mass as if it's the World Series Twins game every week. I mean, if you went to that game, you'd be alert, right? We are something infinitely better. We are at the celebration of the gift of our salvation. And we are receiving here the most amazing meal, the meal of our Lord himself.